Indeed, it is a joy for me to be stand before you with the precious word of God. One week ago, we were coming back from India. Justin, you know, my son called me on the phone and said, "Dad, how long will you be in PDS?" I said, "I might be going back by the end of this month. Maybe it's tonight, the 28th. Then he asked me, "Do a thing. Can you speak in the church?" I don't know how he made it that way. He saw a picture one of my cousins sent him from India. I was standing in a podium like this. He saw that. But many time afterwards, he heard me. So what happened was, I decided to say, "Okay, I will do it. I'm not a big preacher. I will lead a little bit whatever the God laid upon my heart. Whatever the things which we experience in life, that cannot change by nobody. Only God can change it." As for the song we were singing about, "It is well with my soul. Whatever the Lord give to you and me," we can say with a thankful heart, "It is well with my soul." I was thinking about doing something or reading something from the Word of God, I used to listen Billy Graham's messages. While we were in Chicago, after the church, we coming back, I played the station. There is a Moody radio station says, "The Hour of Decision." That is a blessed time when we listen while driving. Justin was a little boy like Caleb. He wanted to listen to. I like the songs and things like that. So what I'm saying is, I was very much interested in listening the Word of God through servants of God. So I listened to Billy Graham. One day he was telling his audience, one man came after the meeting, and he came to him and said, "Can you give a definition when is the end of the world?" Very tough question. Very tough question he asked, "Can you give me a definition when is the end of the world?" Billy Graham spoke. I saw that he was telling. I talked to the man right away. At the right moment when you're done, you finish, when you die, that is the end of the world. We cannot expect everything concluded with one way. That will happen whenever it be. But when we live in this world, God has given us the opportunity to listen His word through Thy servants, through the written word of God. When we meditate or study this, sometimes it's very hard to understand that. How I face this worldly life, a spiritual life. But the Spirit of God is always for us. Then I thought that, what kind of message I have to give? Then I look into several passages of the Bible, come to know, I end up with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John is the very interesting passages or readings in my life. I experienced that. When go through difficulties of life, there is a way of rejoicing because the Spirit of God guide you and me. Then I thought about that. My passage is a reading from John's Gospel chapter 6 and a few verses of that. Then I come up with a thought about the disciples of Jesus. Look into that. They were in the midst of the sea. the troublesome time of their life. They were with Jesus for so long, but a separation from him and separated them from the loving Savior. They were in the midst of the sea. Then I thought of that. And then I wrote something about that. Are you abide in him? The question came to me. Are you abide in him? You abide with Jesus or your God? Then I thought of some of that. Then I wrote like that. When we are surrounded by a sea of problems, a child of God, you are face to face with God for peace. As long as we focus on him, you are safe. If we gaze too long to the problems around us, we will like under the weight of our bondage, burdens. When you get start to sink, simply call out, "For help me, Jesus," and he shall lift you up. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the one never change. Concentrate your thoughts, whatever around you. These are unknown waves in the distance. But I am always beside you, helping you to take care of your matters. Hold my hands and walk joyfully with me throughout the days of your life. John's Gospel chapter 6. There we see that the wonderful chapter about that, Jesus and his disciples. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee. There is a situation with Jesus as well as the people. This is a time of Passover. Jesus away from the Passover this time. Two times before he was with the Passover, the Jewish festival, he go there when times were the people are religious leaders as well as the Jewish people know about that Jesus proclaiming himself about who he is, what the purpose of his coming, what he going to accomplish, and he said, "I am the Son of God." That was jealous of the Jewish people as well as the religious people. So they are trying to plot him to kill so that he escaped from that. This time in the Passover season, he is not going to the Passover in Jerusalem. What happened? Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip. There is a conversation between his disciples, and then he talked to Philip. The Passover is a great festival for Jewish people, but Jesus did not go there. Then a great multitude of people was coming toward him when they saw that he set up on the mountainside. They saw that Jesus is sitting there and he is proclaiming about the kingdom of God. They were listening last time also. They know that there is a place where Jesus is going to sit down. The multitude of people coming through, and they were seeing that Jesus is on the mountainside and he preaching. Those who came to him, they were healed. The sick people were healed. And so that these people were coming again to listen to him rather going to Jerusalem. Jesus looked upon them And there is a multitude of people. And they were so hungry for the word of God. So he was listening, looking unto them and said to his disciples, look at that, this much people are coming. They were with them for almost 2 days. Jesus was a God of compassion. He is a compassionate God. Our God is a compassionate God. When you go through various difficulties of your life, you can see that somebody is behind you. The world cannot give you that kind of odd situation to be solved. Only one person can do that, Jesus. Now, the time is coming toward them. What is going to happen? The people were with there and listening to him. They were tired. Almost the day is going to be over. Jesus was asking to Philip. What Philip said to them, Jesus, okay, can you send these people away? They were with us for this time, long enough. Send them back to their homes to get something to eat. Rest, let the people go. Jesus said, no, you cannot send them back. You have to take care of that. What does that mean? I am going to take care of these people. He is a compassionate God. Our God is a compassionate God for each moment of our life. I experienced that. We went through various difficulties of our life. In this country, we were about almost 42 years when we passed through so many difficult situations. But there is a God who cares for us. Jesus is so compassionate to these people. And asking Philip, he was testing Philip and the disciples. You have to give them. What was the answer? Oh Lord, if we have 200 denarii of money to buy food or bread for these people, it is not enough for them to have at least one piece each. But Jesus was testing their faith. What will happen? They are amazed with that. What Jesus was asking. Do you have anything here? All-knowing God, powerful God, he knows in and out of each one of our lives. He knows the situation with his disciples, their helpless stage. He knows that. Then he was asking, is anybody have anything here? Where shall they buy bread? There is not enough. Then Philip answered to him, 200 denarii is not enough. Then one of the disciples, Andrew, came back to him and said, there is a lad, young boy. He has some loaves in his hand, only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus knows it before the disciple knows. All-knowing God, powerful God. He knows that the boy's mother sent him to the feast, the Jewish festival. The mother said, okay, if I say to my grandson, Caleb, you take this with you. You're going for a field trip. You need it. 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciple, somehow they came to know that this ladder has these loaves and fish. But our God knows that before the disciple knows. And what he said, bring that to me. Philip answered, there is a lad here, he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among this many? Think about that. 5,000 people, the count is coming later. The multitude of people are coming toward Jesus. And he knows the numbers. But the disciple cannot understand that. You know that this morning, my brother was reading about the chapter 2. There was a wedding happened in Cain. Jesus was there. His mother was there. And the first miracle of Jesus took place there. He made the water to become wine. What I'm saying is the disciples from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the first miracle, they saw that. It's a God of miracle. But they cannot recognize that. How great is their Lord with them. Here is the 5 loaves. He asked them to bring it. They bought it. What he did? He took these 5 loaves, lifted up to heaven, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to his disciple. Go. How they did it? They put 100 by 50 or 50 by 100. That's the way, the circle around him. Ask him to distribute it to this multitude of people. Is it sufficient for them? Of course it is. It is more than enough. They ate plenty of it. The things are going smoothly right there. Disciples experienced so many blessings from the Lord. But even though in the midst of that, after a few minutes or 1 hour, they forgot everything. They cannot comprehend that. Who is with them? What is the power of God? Here in the midst of that, everything happened. Jesus was saying, send these people back to their home. Immediately, after they were ate, they were satisfied with the food, and left over is their 12 buckets. But Jesus was sending them immediately to go back to your homes, go to your place, take rest. And then, what was he telling his disciple? Jesus said, send his disciple immediately, go to the boat. Take to the boat and go to the other side of the sea. They took the boat. Jesus sent everything clear, left and right. The people, multitude of people gone away and sent his dear disciple into the sea. What was he going to do? He went up to the mountain. He wanted suppression from the worldly thing. In our day-to-day life, we need a time for that. He separated people from him. He went to the mountain and prayed to the Lord. What he was praying for? He prayed for the people, the multitude of people. He fed them with a satisfied way. And he praying for them. Not only that, moreover that, he is praying for his dear beloved disciples. Lord, I am sending them into the ocean, the roaring lion of the ocean. The waves are crushed. The wind is there. They are in the midst of the sea. You see that the marvelous miracle happened by Jesus. They experienced that. Within an hour or maybe, they were separated from Jesus. He came down and saw that they were far away from the fourth hour of the night. They were in the middle of the sea. The angry waves are behind them. The wind is circling them. They were so scared. You know that when I read of that, John's Gospel chapter 17, the wonderful chapter. Jesus was praying for the whole world of his people. He prayed for himself. Then he prayed for his dear disciples. He prayed to God and said, oh Lord, you gave me these people. They are your people. You gave it to me, but they are in the world. They are not out of the world. They are in the world. Keep them from the evil one. Amazingly, our God is such a God. You know that when you're disappointed, when you struggle with your life, physical, mental, financial, so many problems around you. You see that angry waves are behind you. There is a loving God. He prayed for the whole world. And prayer for himself. Not only that, he prayed for his dear disciples. That was the situation when I read about that. I wrote it, and the angry waves are coming toward you. It is far distance, you see. But you, in a sudden moment, you think, it come and close my head, over my... No, don't be afraid. All of a sudden, Jesus decided to walk on the water. He jumped over. He walked on the water. They saw that something. They saw it. They were afraid. What they say? Oh, it is a ghost. Still, they don't understand. They cannot recognize the loving Savior is with them. He is coming to rescue them. They were so much afraid. What Jesus said? Be cool. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. It is I. When I thought of that, in the wilderness, Moses heard such a voice. In the bush was, there is a burning bush. But the bush is not burning. He hear a voice. I am the Lord God of Jacob and Isaac. Moses heard the voice. Lord, I am, here I am. Then the word of God tells about that. God telling Moses, I heard the cry of my people. When you cry, you think there is a God hear your cry? Honestly, sincerely, heartbroken, you cry. God will hear your prayers. I heard the cry of my people. I want you to go. And Moses, you know about Moses, we all know that. He was separated from all the calamities. He was treated in Pharaoh's palace. He got all the education, all the tricks and military, everything he learned. But one day he had to come out from that place. Now, next step, he got to take care of the sheep. You know the sheep situation. One got left, one got the right. He had to take care of them. But that he was taking lessons from God. There God is asking to do, go, deliver my people from the bondage. Then Moses said, oh Lord, you send somebody else. I'm not able to go. I'm not a frequent eloquent speaker. I cannot speak well, just like me. I cannot speak well. God said to him, don't worry about that. I can find a solution for you. I will find a substitute, a helper for you. I send your brother with you. Then this is the one thing I want to tell you. There Moses asked God a question. Okay, finally he agreed. I will go. When I reach Egypt and I'm presenting your commission, the people will ask me, what is his name? What is the name of the person or God sent me? Here it says, I am that I am. Did you ever heard of that? Did you ever read of that in the Old Testament? Moses faced with God. And God told Moses, when you go to Egypt, tell the people of Israel, I am that I am sending you. In our day-to-day life, when we face the difficulties of life, there is a God says, I am that great. The great I am is for you. This morning, God has given us wonderful time to come to worship him. But realize that a God of hosts is our Savior. When we face difficulties in our lives, we are not alone. Somebody is there behind you, holding your hands. Walk with me, my child. I will support you. I'm taking care of you. in my life. I experienced that prayer of my life. My mom, when she cooked evening, in the dinner she cooked, and she went to her room and put the head coverings, and she prayed for us. We were 7 and 5 boys. 3 of them are growing same size as me. She prayed for us, name by name. That is a blessing. Dear parents, grandparents, if you pray for your child, little ones, pray for them name by name. That's what I'm doing. When I pray with Justin Saul, I pray for Caleb and Hannah by name. I learned from my mom and many other people. When I was working in a bank, there are a lot of troubled family. People come to me and, "How is Thomas, how are you doing? How is your family? How is your children? Are so blessed." Sometimes I present the gospel to them. Then I'll, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, I'm a Christian." "Where you go to church?" "I'm a Catholic." I say, "Doesn't matter. Do you have a Bible in your home?" "Yes, I do." "Do one thing. Take the Bible, read to them, read to your kids, call them around you, read the Bible. Not only that, you pray for them." I never ever ask the parent people to open the Bible from the Genesis to, don't read the Numbers or Leviticus. Never ever. Don't do that. That is a hard part for a new person to read the Bible. I say there are 4 Gospels. Go to the Gospels. But the most important one is the Gospel of John. The whole world is reading that. John 3:16. When you read the Bible, put your kids together and you pray. When you pray, pray for them, name them one by one. What Jesus said, "These my sheep, they are called out. I call them by name." The personalized situation is that you have to personalize. Personal approach is the most important thing in a person's life. If you approach a person and talk to them simple way, the word of God is very simple to understand. John's gospel is the most important chapters of the Bible. Anybody can understand. Simplicity. You don't have to take hardship to read it. God so loved the world. That was our Lord. So the disciples were on the boat, and Jesus went and rescued them. Our God is a God of comfort and strength. Our Jesus is a compassionate God. The disciples, this long time they were with him, they cannot recognize his presence. They were in trouble. Help us, Lord. You know, Peter is one of the most important person in Jesus' disciples. But he failed there. But our God is a God of comfort and strength. He is going to come back. Until that day, we got to face the situation, whatever it be. We got to live with that. He will comfort us. Whatever it may happen to you, for me, hold on to his hands. Our God is a God of grace. He never fails. Hold my hand and walk joyfully with me through this day. May God help us to understand his ways and guidance in our lives. I can guide you. I am your guide as well as you. Cannot compromise. God designed you to live in union with him. May God help us to go through our pilgrimage, the world life, when we face the difficulties of so many things in our life. There is a God who is sufficient and efficient and loving Savior. He cares for you. He guides you. May his name be glorified.